expect to respond to it. We let this world get to us. We do. Well, it's reality, you know, the things that are going on. You read the news and there's just idiocy. No common sense. The decisions that are being made are wrong. They're just opposite what they should be, and there's strange, weird things going on. So let's go to Daniel 7:25, and let's just look at something tonight. Zealous. Do we have zealousy? We have jealousy, but do we have zealousy? Do we have, what's this thing about being zealous? And I remember going back when I first heard about the King James Bible, and that just got me excited because I just realized, I was zealous about that thing. Well, man, who wanted to hear that? But I will say, back in those days, that would have been the, 78, 79, 80s in there somewhere. First got into this stuff, 78, 79, when I was in Las Vegas. And some people wanted to hear it. You had to teach them stuff, show them verses and stuff, but family, you know, you have no honor. That's a gospel. That's a gospel thing, but it really is true. You know, you have no honor in your own country, in your own family, and so they didn't want to hear anything. My mom finally did, but long story there. And then, I was zealous about this King James thing. Then I went to a church in New York that got all this going, and I was zealous about that church. And before we get to the church, after the church thing, then I got really zealous about Dr. Ruckman and his teachings. Then that caused all the damage it did. And then zealous towards our little church we had, because we were going to teach the right stuff. Then I find out that we're supposed to be teaching Paul. So I get zealous about the Paul stuff. Then I get zealous about the Paul only, King James only. 1 Corinthians 13:10, the website, what people can learn, and you get zealous about these things. And zealous, it's, you know, the definition is eagerness of desire. I mean, you want somebody to get it with passionate ardor. It says in the pursuit of something, warmly engaged. You're not just out there spilling your brain, like a lot of them do, pridefully preaching mean to them, you know, and preaching the hard stuff to them, and going after the sinners, going after the sodomites, all that stuff. There's no zealousness there necessarily. There might be to some people because they really care, but a lot of what I've ever seen is just pride, we're saved and you're not, kind of a thing. And lost people pick up on that really quickly. But you care. You know, you're passionate about somebody getting something. I'm passionate about the King James Bible. Now I'm passionate about what Paul can show people, the risen Savior. You're passionate. You want, you know, you're warmly engaged. You really want them to get it because you know how it'll change their lives. Unfortunately, we also know that it'll probably destroy their lives in many ways. Persecution will come upon them more than they've ever seen before. But then they'll become passionate. And our zealousy, this passion stuff that we have, are we losing it? Have I lost it? I mean, I sent out a bunch of letters to people that are readers and listeners. I just wanted people to know, and I probably shouldn't have done this. It's like one of those whinings. You guys don't ever write out letters about things that's happening to you at work, so I suppose I shouldn't have. But I was hoping to hear from a few more folks, you know. So do you run out of steam? Am I running out of steam? Do I run out of this zealousness? Am I not as zealous as I used to be? And all this stuff going on here just takes the wind out of your sails. You know, how much left do we have for thread to keep our sails together these days? And you're all got your issues and problems too. You've written to me. I know what's going on. I haven't been through some of the stuff you guys have been through yet, maybe. We got people with medical issues that are serious. They're terminal almost in some cases. They're very debilitating. I think that's the right word. Debilitating. And A lot of people don't have insurance. A lot of people don't have family. There's so many things going on. Who am I to be the king whiner, you know? So what causes us? Why do we lose some of this zealousness that we have? Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Let's do a word study. Nothing deep, nothing complicated here. I find it interesting because we're going to look at Paul. You know, I'm going to see what his zealous. He was very zealous, and he paid the price, of course. But there's a verse that I learned a long time ago, Daniel 7:25. We're talking about the Antichrist, et cetera, et cetera. 10 horns out of this kingdom, et cetera, et cetera. It says in verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. And we hear that. Great, not meaning, you know, fantastically. Well, that makes sense. Not that kind of great. Great meaning big. I mean, there's really an attack against God, an attack against anything Bible, anything against, you know, the risen Savior. It says here, the Most High. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. There's your time and times and dividing of time, et cetera, et cetera. But what I want you to see is the fact that he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High. Old Testament, you know, we know where we could go with that thing. But still, if he's talking about the Antichrist, then that's a prophetic thing there, that as this thing gets closer and closer, I mean, God's people are going to just be wearing out. Now, if you look at the gospel crowd, you know, the anti-Paul crowd or the Paul users crowd, or the hyper grace crowd, where they don't have to do Timothy and Titus, you know, they're not being worn out. I was trying to talk to a guy, silly me, just because I'm not doing much this week, and about we got into the music thing on Facebook, the Farcebook thing, you know, where the CIA has got all is sponsoring all this kind of stuff, so you know they're watching. And I tell you, we were talking about King James, we were talking about Paul. And the guy was willing to talk. He didn't have anything intelligent to say. But when we got to music, boom, he quit. I'm telling you, I'm zealous about the music thing. And how do you be zealous on a keyboard? To me, that's one of the hardest things is to witness to somebody through the internet. Because they don't see your passion. They don't see your seriousness, your sincerity. As it says here, warmly engaged. They don't see that. We find ourselves arguing the way they want to argue. Facts. Book, chapter, verse, facts. Pastor says facts. Nobody can tell me. Well, I don't know why I got into it, because just like Paul says, you just stay away from this stuff. It's just going to cause anger. It's going to get strife going. And, you know, but I got into it for a couple of minutes. Then he disappeared. So sometimes we lose our zealousy because we are zealousing to people who don't care. But like I'm reminded in emails every once, we're not doing this for the people. We're doing this to be a witness for the truth, for God. I got to keep reminding myself that, and I know somebody on this list keeps reminding me, and please do, because how much is left? We'll see. So we're getting worn out here, and let's look at some interesting verses that will show us, I don't know what's going to change our zealousness, our zealouslessness, there we go, zealouslessness, but we'll try it. It's just good for me to talk about it tonight. John chapter 2, a gospel verse, sure it is, John chapter 2. See, we're still supposed to read the whole Bible. There's stuff in there that you can learn from. There's stuff in there that you can be, what's the word? I can't think of it. Can't even think of it now. Can't even think of it. Anybody got it out there? Can't think of it. Begin to the A. But anyway, John chapter 2, verse 17. This is where Jesus says to these guys. He says, you know, here, he says, John was 3, okay, John 2, 17. And his disciples remembered, this is just after they sold doves and stuff in the Father's house of merchandise, okay? And it says in verse 17, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And we'll see here that the Jews had a zeal. Paul had a zeal. And these people had a zeal. Well, what was their zeal? Their zeal, they were so excited about this stuff that they, you know, they sold doves and they had their bookstores and their Christian bookstores, as they call them nowadays, and their trinkets and stuff that they sold. And if you remember, Paul even went after that silversmith guy because they were making money on this stuff. And Paul got people away from it. They lost their money, you know, and the people despised their goddess as such and destroyed the magnificence of the temple. So these people exist. And what Jesus says about it, these guys are the zeal that you guys have. You are so zealous that you don't even know the real Jesus. It's eaten me up. The real Jesus there, they don't even see him. So the zeal of the house, these people's zeal actually kept them from the truth. Now, I look at the gospel crowd. A lot of people are like that. I mean, they get excited about their Bibles. They get excited about their music and about their church and their pastor. And they get really zealous of all this stuff. And we'll see that Paul has verses for that thing. You know, we know what you're already thinking, what I know, but we'll just look at them carefully here. But this is what's going on with so many people. The modern Christian who thinks that everything is hunky-dory and they just got to go to war, they need to pray more, they need to get those Ten Commandments back in the schools, they need to get a Christian in the White House, you know, all this kind of stuff, and they're zealousness is actually eaten him up. They don't even know the real him. They're so zealous, they're blind. They're zealous of themselves or the things I was talking to you about. And so, our jealousy, do we let that happen to us? Well, we'll see here. Let's go to Acts chapter 21 now. Acts 21. And you know, it's interesting to me that when I go back to the Gospels and I read stuff that are like this verse, the zeal of that house has eaten me up, because our Christians today, the Gentiles, are being taught so much from the Gospel thing that it really fits, doesn't it? The people in the gospel days with Jesus, it just fits the people today because they're still being taught the same stuff. That doesn't mean that it's right what's going on today. The Gentiles following the Church of God, you know, following the Gospels, but because they follow it so well, it actually fits them pretty well. So yeah, their zeal has eaten up the real Christ. These guys don't even know the real Christ. It's an unknown God, as Paul talks about it. Acts chapter 21. Verse 20, or do we want to start back at 15? Let's see, I think I got 15 for a reason here. And we sailed thence and came the next day, Acts 21, verse 20, there it makes sense. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Now, let's go back to 15 just for a minute. You see that they were in Jerusalem. We see that this is well into Acts, but he's still in Jerusalem talking about the brethren. And it says right here the elders were present and James was there, you know. And he said in verse 19, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles. So there's a testimony there from the Gentiles. So we know that he's talking to Gentiles. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. And said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they're zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after their customs, not to do baptism anymore, not to do the Lord's Supper anymore, to stick with the King James Bible. You see what we're going here. And these people, they believe, but they're just zealous of the law. It's hard to break the law in people. It's just hard to get people to stop breaking this law, the laws as such. It's a way that they feel Christian-y. It's the way that they feel blessed. It's their own pride. It's their own input. And they just think that they still got the law. We still got to do all these things just right. And they don't realize the very simple verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, it says right there. But that's a hard thing to get people to break. Now, look at Acts. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 10. We'll go there. Might as well go to that verse. Look at a couple verses here. It talks about these Jewish people here. And he says, you know the verses, verse 2, chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them record, he's talking about Israel, verse 1, that they have a zeal of God. People today, the so-called Christians that's following the Gospels and still think that the law is there for salvation and blessings of God now in fellowship, etc. So not the old-fashioned law, but they still make a law out of this deal. And the same thing, they have a zeal of God. But Paul finishes it with just a great verse, but not according to knowledge. Then he defines that, for they're ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own. Well, sure, we need to do the right thing, but all things are lawful. But not all things are expedient. They have to edify, not to cause some, you know, the strings attached. So, but that's not our righteousness that's getting us saved. That's not our righteousness that's keeping us in fellowship with God. His righteousness is. And so they skip this part of this salvation message, or the Christian message today. They go right into the fact that I'm a Christian, I need to start doing right, I need to start doing better, and then God will bless me, or God will get me. We've heard that before. So these people have an unknown God, but they're zealous toward this unknown God. Are we zealous toward the known God? Are we zealous of God, of the risen Savior, of Paul? Okay, let's go here to, let's go back to Acts 22 now. Let's go to Acts chapter 22. Let's look at a little bit of just Paul. He's our man, you know, earthly man. He's our brother in reality here, as well as our father as such, as we're sons. He begotten us. Okay, Acts 21, verse 20. Now we did that one. Acts 22, verse 3. He says, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. So, Paul was a zealous man. He was a zealous Jew. He was very zealous towards God. Now, go down to Galatians chapter 1. Go to Galatians chapter 1. It's more about Paul. Galatians chapter 1, verse 14. Oh, I pretend I hear the pages turning. You know, anyway. Galatians 1. Let's look at 13 here. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. There's a phrase people use today, wasted. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. I mean, Paul profited big time in this, above many of my equals, being more exceedingly jealous of the traditions of my fathers. And Paul was not only a Jew, he was a good one. He was zealous towards God. He was zealous toward the tradition of the fathers, that Jewish tradition stuff. He was good at that stuff. That was him. Now, you look back before you were saved, and truly saved with the King James Bible and Paul and raised and saved, et cetera, before he got all fired up. Were you zealous? What were you zealous of? What were we all zealous of back in those days? Well, we were probably zealous of, I don't know, videos. We were probably zealous of all the money you were making. You're probably zealous of trying to get people to see something. There was something you were passionate about, I would think. And maybe you're passionate about your religion, your music. You ever had a restaurant you like and you really wanted somebody to go to it? I mean, you really wanted them to enjoy the meal you were going to get there. Tony Aroma's baby back ribs or something, you know. We have passion for things. Paul was very passionate toward God. And being a Jew here. Let's go to here. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. I know little Daniel tonight, little big Daniel tonight. 1 Corinthians 14, and this is the speaking in tongues chapter, which I know throws people for a loop. Well, this is because the King James Bible, which is perfect, has come. And so this was going on during these days. If you're going to do this, here's how you do it. Not like we got going on today. But anyway, he says, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts. Well, you know, these people during these days wanted those spiritual gifts that he's taught here. And they could have them. But you go back with Paul, and Romans tells us the gifts that we have today. Not the gifts of speaking in tongues, not the gift of interpretation, etc., etc. So he says here, you know, these people, they're zealous of spiritual gifts. Okay, now in all that he finishes, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. That's what he wanted them to be zealous of. Everybody wanted this glory stuff. Well, what do we have today? We got people that are zealous of God's blessings or church action or different things, the funness of the church, the music. They're zealous of this stuff. But seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Well, the church is the body of Christ, edifying the body of Christ. That's Paul to the max in Ephesians. And we can be zealous of the different things that we receive as a Christian, but we need to excel in the truth, in the edifying of the church, just like he says to them, because they were looking for those particular spiritual gifts. Our gifts are in Romans, and we can fall for the same problem. We can be zealous of all the things, you know, that exist. Well, that's great. But let's see if we can't edify the body of Christ, each other, the proper things here. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And this is an odd little verse. We've talked about this in a sermon or two or three or four. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. There's your 7:11. Whatever you want to do with that. For behold this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. There's your verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance, anyway. And he says, what carefulness it wrought in you. See, we're sincere Christians. We're to be a sincere Christian now. And he says, yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. Well, that's quite the description of a, you know, active Christian. We don't just, we don't just sit around and be a little Christian goody-goody and let everything just go by. Look at the words in there. You sorrowed. You know what's going on here. You sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness did it? I mean, are you really trying to do the right thing? Did you, you know, yea, what clearing of yourselves. Well, we're our soul is clean. Yeah, but we still got works to do for the judgment seat of Christ. What indignation. Indignation. Yeah, the stuff that we find ourselves doing should still, we should be indignant. We should be irritated over this stuff. Yea, what fear. Not for God's chastisement or that kind of a thing. Yea, what vehement desires. Vehement desire is a serious desire. Yea, what zeal. What revenge. And we talked about, what do you mean, revenge? Revenge against the world for what it did to you. Remember, Paul even says there in Acts 19, you know, destroy the magnificence. Despise. That's some serious stuff. That's part of revenge. That's part of indignation. That's part of being carefulness and vehement desire. Where's our oomph? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2. For I know, I've read verse 1 here, for as touching and ministering to the saints, it is superfluous, in other words, it's not really necessary, you know, for me to write to you, but I'm going to anyway, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia. Remember what happened in Thessalonians? These guys get there and they already have been told and their lives have changed. So I know the forwardness of your mind. For which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provoked very many. So, just a little bunny shot here. Go to that second, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. And if you've got a reference Bible there, good night, Bob. See you later. I'll let you know how it turns out. In the reference there, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That ties in with this verse 2, because of their zeal, they have provoked very many. So I'm just curious, if you have one of those reference Bibles, do they have 2 Corinthians 9:2 as a reference to 1 Thessalonians 2:9? If they don't, write it in. 2 Corinthians 9:2, because they are able to show these people because they had a zeal. So this stuff all works together. Eventually you start seeing these things more and more. So that's what, it wasn't just that they talked about it, and it wasn't just that they showed them the scriptures, but these people changed in Macedonia, where are we at? I've lost my pages here. In Macedonia and Achaia, verse 7. And these guys showed them what manner of entering in Paul had unto these people. That had to be because of their zeal. And it says, they provoked very many because of their zeal. They were excited about it. They had a warmth. They had a passion about it. It wasn't just drudgery and frustration and irritation that we have to turn from idols to serve the living and true God. No, we are serving the living and true God. I mean, that's who we know we have by looking to Paul. We're not serving Jesus' teachings in the Gospels. We're not serving an unknown God. We know all about Him. And He's alive. He's living. And He is the true God. And that ought to give us some kind of a passion or some kind of a zealousness. But we have so many people putting our flame out. Hardly anybody, Romans 11:22, they don't want the goodness of God. Are we letting them put down our zealousness or zealousy? Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. This is a little couple of verses that make a lot of sense to all of us. Galatians chapter 4. This is hard for people, but it's there, 17. 16, Paul's talking to these people who, because he tells them the truth, am I therefore become your enemy because they tell you the truth? Don't you have a long list of people who think you're actually their enemy just because you told them the truth? I mean, what's going on here? Am I their enemy just because I'm telling these kids the truth in a fashion of music and things? Or whatever? What's going on? Is it a website issue? Am I their enemy because of what I have in my opinions online? And he says in 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. These are the people that don't want, they affect us. They truly affect us. And they're not affecting us well. And we see the rest of this verse. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. Well, see, if we have any zealousness in our lives and our passion, our desire for them to get something, we'll be careful how we say things. But if something pops up, we can say, well, you know, the scriptures say that this is part of the falling away. Well, they don't want to hear that. So we keep getting excluded. There goes another friend. There goes another friend. You know, kind of a thing. Then it wears us down. He says in 18, though, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. So we could be zealously affected by the good things that are still taking place. Are there any? Well, there's a couple that pop in once in a while. And it isn't just when Paul's there. So for us today, where do we have Paul at? Well, we have Paul in our King James Bible. So we sit down and we read our Bible. I just love writing a sermon or writing some notes or taking a word study and just going through it. And I want to teach it to somebody else. You know, it's just a fantastic book. That's just like Paul saying, be zealous of a good thing, even when I'm not there. So instead of just getting our joy out of Bible reading, we should be zealously affected by the good things that are so taking place in this country. But like I said, where are the good things? Well, if we look deep, we can find a few. And I don't mean personally the good things that the world is doing. I mean, I guess it's a good thing, but or the good things that the fake Christians or the modern Christians are doing. I suppose that's a good thing. But maybe it's an opportunity to say something. Oh, wait a minute. The verse ahead of us says to us that they want to exclude us from those good things that they're doing. Well, we know what's a good thing from a rightly divided Bible, what Paul teaches. Zealously affected, always in a good thing. Zealously affected when you see somebody modest, when you see somebody, you know, talk properly. The list could go on. There's good things out there to still be zealously affected by. There's still some good things, I think. Now, I don't know if we went to Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. Did we do that one for Paul? Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. We might not have. Lousy. My mind is kind of far away anyway here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. Did we talk about that earlier? Philippians chapter 3, verse 6. No, I didn't. This is another reference to Paul concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Paul, again, this is another couple of verses on Paul being such a good Christian. Such a good Jew. And now he's saying, listen, you guys think you're, in verse 4, he says, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh. I mean, if anybody could trust in the flesh, Paul could. And here's his Jewish description. You know, I'm circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He had so much zeal in him. So he's talking about what it was like there, the righteousness which is of the law. I mean, he tried to do the right thing. I should have put that up earlier in the sermon. But anyway, let's go here to Colossians 4. I'll almost wrap this up here. Colossians chapter 4. Zealous. You know, we should be zealous toward this stuff. Colossians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, it says, who gave himself, Colossians, for I bear him record that he hath a great, who are we talking about here? Well, we've got to go back and go to verse 12. There's Epaphras. So we have to be careful when we pop out a verse that says, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. Would that be Christ? It's just like there's another one in, I had it, and then I just forgot about it. Paul was talking about when he, I'll find it here. We'll find it here. I think it's entitled. No, it says, for example, this is kind of a bunny trail. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, for example. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit and faith and purity, till I come, give attendance. Well, who's coming? That must be Jesus. No, this is Paul talking. That kind of a thing. We have to remember that till I come doesn't just refer to Jesus coming. This is till Paul comes, give attendance to reading. So we have here back in Colossians 4:13, which is, for I bear him record that he hath. Oh, this is Epaphras. This isn't Jesus towards us. And this is what we can have towards people, towards each other. Verse 12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So that's what we need to be fervent towards for each other. That's how you pray for somebody. And verse 13, for I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. Do you have a zeal for the brethren, for me, for the people on the list, for people that we've met before? Do we have a zeal for them that we would pray fervently, laboring fervently, and praying for people that we would, the other person would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? That's what we want to have people, that's what our zealousy should be towards each other. Right? Yes. We should be like an Epaphras to somebody. Then we got Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Now, this is an interesting little verse here because this is the one that can cause some confusion for people. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. And it's a good verse for us because it tells us what we should be zealous towards, not only just each other, but who gave himself for us, of course that would be Jesus Christ, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, which he did by taking care of sin and iniquity, and purifying to himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Okay, so this is Paul telling us that we should be zealous toward good works. Fine. And that's a sermon in itself right there, and so let's be that way. But just let's bunny trail this one. A peculiar people. Now, there's only one other place where we see the word peculiar people. And that's 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, see, so that's why Peter must be to us Christians today. Because, see, Paul says that we're a peculiar people. He went purifying to himself a peculiar people. And it says the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So, see, this is a different peculiar people. It has to be. I don't know what the dog is upset about, but oh well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now here we go. Which in time past were not a people. We'll see, that's the Gentiles. But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Well, see, that's proof to these guys. Well, that's us talking about the Gentiles. No, it's not. Because verse 11 and verse 12, having a conversation honest among the Gentiles, he's talking to the Jews there. Strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lusts. See? What do you mean? The Jews? Well, they were chosen. Genesis 12. A royal priesthood. Are the Gentiles, the Christians, a royal priesthood? A holy nation? No, the Gentile nation is not a holy nation. But they're still a peculiar people. Well, why wouldn't God, in Titus 2, want to purify into himself a peculiar people? Well, his people were a peculiar people, so he's going to make us a peculiar people. That little section in 1 Peter is not proof that Peter is written to us. It just is not. Now, go to Romans chapter 10. There's a little spot in here. Romans chapter 10. And it's verse 19. Actually, the 18. What I say, have they not heard? About how should they hear without a preacher, etc., etc. Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. So see, now there's another reference to the Gentiles. No people. They were not a people. Same thing in Peter, it says here, a peculiar people to see. We are told not right. Again, just talking about the people who are now the people of God. Well, how about Ephesians chapter 2? Where do we stand with that one as a lost person? Well, Ephesians chapter 2 tells me that at the time we were without Christ. We're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We weren't part of Israel at all. Strangers from the covenants of promise. We had no hope. We were without God. So we have to be able to prove, rightly dividing, very simple, that Titus chapter 2, the peculiar people, are the Gentiles. 1 Peter chapter 2 are the Jews. Anyway, let's get back to just us again here. He gave himself for us. He redeemed us from all iniquity. He didn't just get us to stop iniquitating, stop sinning. He redeemed us from all iniquity by taking care of the law and imputing his righteousness to us. and to purify it unto himself, Ephesians chapter 3, he's going to, a peculiar people, zealous for good works. Well, yeah, you're a peculiar person if you're going to be zealous for good works. You're a unique person. Zealous for good works. You're a serious Christian, sincere Christian. You're peculiar people. Zealous of good works. Now, the other place for peculiar is Revelation 3, for zealous is Revelation 3:19. Well, sure, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Right. During the tribulation, they're going to have to be zealous. They're going to have to be zealous to do the right thing when nobody lets them. We're almost feeling like it is today. So we need to be zealous, but not according to Revelation 3:19. We need to be zealous for what? Good works. In Titus, we need to be zealous for each other. Colossians 4:13. We need to be zealous in our testimony. 2 Corinthians 9:2. We need to have zealous. We need to have zeal in our personal response to this whole thing. And it needs to be a zeal of God. It needs to be according to knowledge, not according to knowledge. Now, three quick more verses here. I think it's just three. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:16. As we wrap this little thought up tonight, which I'm going to probably find out later tonight how much I really believe what I preach here, but we are having some tough days, aren't we all? Not going to get any better according to the news. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let's do 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. What's that? The glory of God. But what we do, even when we mess up, God gets the glory because he can just say, but I've already covered it. He's already taken care of it. But anyway, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So every day we get up, we know every second is a new second. Every day is a new day. And I hate that phrase. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. I hate that. I've heard that so many times. But it is true. And we get our inward man is renewed day by day, while our old man out here is just falling apart more and more. Galatians chapter 6. Now, if we're going to renew that inward man, we've got to open up this book and get renewed. Galatians chapter 6. Like I say, I'm nervous because I might have to see how much of a Christian I am when I get the big one laid down on me tonight. How strong am I going to be? Not very strong, I think. Anyway, Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. We can't give up. And when I think of how things are going these days, I said last week, I said, let's just go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's just read that before you go to bed at night, you know. And he says here, not to be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, etc., etc. He tells us over there, stand fast, hold the traditions, comfort your hearts, establish in every good word and work. There it is again. Being zealous toward good works. When things are going so bad out here, we need to still do something good. We need to do a good work, which we know from Paul, but that's all about. He says that we've taught you the commandments, you know, of God now. Let's go up and do these things. And that'll keep us to hang in there. And then don't forget what I said this last week. Romans 9:22. We'll finish with that one. Romans 9:22. How powerful is God's power? Well, God's so powerful. He's got long suffering towards those he wants to show his wrath and make his power known. Verse 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted destruction? If God can put up with it and endure, we have to also. But just remember, he's God and we're not. So when we give in on something, it just proves that we're not God. Not that we need to be proven, not that that needs to be proven, although in modern Bibles it tells people to imitate God instead of follow. Isn't that amazing? How do you imitate God? That's just crazy stuff. Anyway, there you go. There you go, website out there, the video thing.